Samuel went into David's family and he said, hey, he looks like a leader. He's the oldest brother. Maybe he's the anointed one. God says, no, it's not him. Man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Chobe. Maybe you've listened to Straight Talk for some time now, and you've heard the teaching, and it's encouraged your heart, and it has spoken to your soul. But you have never made a clear, intentional decision to become a full-fledged follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference between being a sympathizer and being someone that's a fully committed disciple. The difference is that a sympathizer likes the words, enjoys the teaching, sympathizes with Jesus, but hasn't crossed the line to say, I'm committed more than just a sympathizer. The Bible's really clear about it. It's an act of the will and an act of faith that releases the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus into our life. There's no magic prayer, although a prayer in faith can mark the beginning of our conversion. It's us being willing to acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves, that we have sinned, that we have violated God's law, that we have made mistakes against God, and that we need those to be cleansed in our life. It's also a willingness to believe and say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you sacrificed yourself for me, and I believe that you have the power to cleanse me. The Bible tells us that when in faith we repent, we acknowledge our sin, and we embrace that Jesus will be our Savior and Lord, bow our knee and yield our will, that at that moment in time, truth mixes with faith, releases the Holy Spirit into our life, and the Bible refers to it as being born again or being a new creation or a new creature. Once you've made that decision, then you need to make sure that you plug into a community of faith. You need to find a church and plug into that church. You need to get baptized as a sign of your following Jesus Christ, and you need to begin to grow in your walk with God. That's what it means to be a disciple. So if you've never made that decision, then I urge you, I encourage you, don't let this day go by without making sure that you make that decision before God. And if you do make that decision listening to this broadcast, why don't you email me and let me know, hey, Mark, I was listening to your broadcast. This is the decision that I've made. We'd love to encourage you and send you some material to get started in your walk in God.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Today, we will be continuing with Pastor Mark's series called Fighting for Your Destiny. And today is part two. It's called Step Into Your Next Phase. Let's get right into our message tonight. The text will be found in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
Today, I want to talk to you about fighting for your destiny. Fighting for your destiny. I love Chicago because the weather in Chicago, it changes seasons. I know some of you don't like the change of seasons. You wish it were like California, Texas, or Florida. But I like the change of seasons. I don't want it to be hot all year round. I like that it's summer, and then you start feeling a little bit of the cold coming in, and the leaves start changing, and it tells us there's a new season coming. And we go into fall. And then fall starts going and it gets colder, colder. And you know that a new season is coming. It kicks into winter. And winter goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. But then when you have the first glimmers that it warms up a little bit inside of your spirit, you know, hey, there's a change of seasons. I thought this winter was going to last forever, but I know, hey, spring is coming. Doesn't your heart leap a little bit and something change inside of you? You get out of your depression because you know, hey, spring is coming. I believe spiritually speaking, it's the same way. There's seasons in our life, and one season is preparing us for the next season of life. Whatever you're going through right now, today, You may not understand it. You may not fully comprehend what God is doing. But I believe that God is preparing you, getting you ready for the next season. There are certain lessons that you're learning today that you will need in your next season, because God goes from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. God prepares us from one season to the next. And so I want to talk to you about that, because I believe every person in this auditorium, you have a gifting and you have a call upon your life, and some of you are not living out your call. Tell the person beside you, you're called. Tell the person on the other side, you're called. Okay. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16 as we look at getting ready for fighting for our God-given destiny. But I want you to understand and maximize each phase of your preparation for the call that you have on your life. Some of you have a call, but you're not living it out. Some of you have gifts, but you're not using them. And you're in a season of preparation. God is getting you ready to use your gifts and use your call for His purposes and His plans. So I want us to look at the story of King David. King David is one of the greatest men in the Bible. He is mentioned more than 1,000 times throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. He's mentioned more than Abraham, mentioned more than Moses. He's mentioned more than anyone, any man in the New Testament. Jesus was known not as the son of Abraham, not as the son of Moses, but as the son of whom? The son of David. So a powerful, powerful man. And I believe that from his story, we can see how God took this little shepherd boy and through a season of preparation used him to become one of the greatest king that this world has ever known. And so I want us to learn from how God prepared him for his calling. I want us to briefly look at five phases in preparing for our calling. Five phases that we go through in order to prepare for our calling. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Number one, the calling phase. In the calling phase, you have to have an awareness of God's purpose in your life. You may be here today and not know exactly what your calling is, but you are called. You may not know what your gifting is, but you have gifts. What happens in the calling phase is there's something that stirs inside of us and tells us, I have a purpose that's greater than what I'm living for right now. Have you ever felt that? That there's something inside of me compelling. There's a mission, a purpose, a call. I may not know what it is, but I feel it inside. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. Because you are a spirit being, you're composed of body, soul, and spirit. They call that trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. There's something inside of your spirit that reminds you that you were made for something greater, deeper, higher, more compelling. We're not animals that have evolved into some highly evolved species that simply live, die, and turn to dust. But that there's something bigger than that. Every human being feels it inside of their soul, because you're made in the image of God, and God is a God with a purpose and a plan. He's a sovereign God, and inside of your soul, He has placed a sense that you have a destiny that's bigger than you, that you were made for a purpose, made in the image of God, and every human being feels it unless it's beat out of them. And I'm sure everybody in this auditorium has felt that sense, that stirring, that calling inside of your soul. King David, it tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, that he was just a shepherd boy when these things occurred, but there was a transition that was happening. The people of Israel had complained. They wanted a king like everybody else had a king. And so God gave them a king. His name was Saul. the first king that Israel had ever had. Up until that time, they were a theocracy. The nation was run by prophets appointed by God to lead Israel. The people of Israel became discontent, and they looked at the nations around them and they said, "We don't want a theocracy, we want a monarchy. We want a political military leader to lead our nation." And so although God was disappointed, God answered their prayer and gave them King Saul. How many of you know that sometimes God gives us things that we want even though he doesn't want us to have them? Sometimes he'll go that way. He gave them a king even though he knew it wouldn't be the best for them. Saul was a tall man. He was the image of what you think a king would look like. He was tall, big, square jaw. When he walked in the room, people looked at him and, "Yeah, there's a leader." But although he looked like a leader and had the appearance of a leader, he did not have the heart of a leader that God was choosing. And so shortly after he became king, God took him down from being king. And the prophet Samuel spoke to Saul and said to him, "God has taken you out of being king and chosen a man that's after his own heart." And so then Samuel started searching for who that next king would be. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6, that he arrived at the house of a man by the name of Jesse, who was David's father. In verse 6 it says, "And when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look on the things as people look at. People look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" How many of you are happy that God's not looking at the outward appearance, but he's looking at hearts that really want to serve him? Man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. Samuel went into David's family and he said, "Hey, he looks like a leader. He's the oldest brother. Maybe he's the anointed one." God says, "No, it's not him." They went through all of the children, all of the boys from one down to the other. And finally, Samuel says, "Hey, is there no other son?" And Jesse says, "Yeah, there's another son, but he's out taking care of the sheep."
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled "Step Into Your Next Phase," which is from Pastor Mark's new series called "Fighting for Your Destiny." After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Here's Pastor Mark.
He's the youngest. Surely it's not him. And they go and they bring David to him. David couldn't have been probably more than 16 years old or so at the time. He was taking care of the sheep because no one else wanted to take care of the sheep. And I know it may seem like a nice job to do, but really taking care of sheep is not a exotic romantic job like you see in the movies. It's a stinky, smelly, dirty job that most people don't want to do. I grew up in a little village in northern Spain called Rubena. Rubena had 200 people in the village and 400 sheep. So the sheep outnumbered people 2-1. And on my way to school in the village where I grew up, I would have to hopscotch over in the road because of all the sheep droppings that were left in the middle of the road. And it just so happened to be that my best friend, whose name was Jose Luis, he was the son of the town shepherd. So I spent a lot of time around sheep and shepherds growing up. Jose Luis's father, whose name was Luis, was the town shepherd. And every morning he'd get up early, early in the morning, and he would take sheep from various families, and he would take them out into the countryside, and he would spend all day out there as the sheep grazed in the pastures. And he was not an educated man, and he was not well looked upon. People kind of despised him because when they got around him, he smelled like sheep. He spent hours and hours every day just out in the sun. His face was extremely tanned and wrinkled from years and years of living in the sun. He wasn't a man of a lot of words. He was just a shepherd that spent time with the sheep out there in the field day after day, night after night. And so when it says that David was the shepherd of the sheep, this was the lowest job that you could expect to have. It's a job that none of the brothers wanted to do. But I want you to notice something. And I want you to hear this very well. Because in the calling phase, there's something inside of you that says, I believe I have a destiny and a purpose that's bigger than what I'm living. I believe I have a gift. And I can't articulate it or define it or describe it. But I know that God is preparing me for something. Even though what you're currently living may be the lowest, most insignificant kind of position that you could find yourself in. I'm speaking to someone here now. David was a shepherd. But I want you to notice that even as a shepherd, God was forming him in the shadows of his calling. He was doing something that other people didn't want to do. His job was insignificant in the eyes of others, but yet God was doing something. He was shaping him, forming him, building his character. As he was taking care of the sheep, he was learning what it meant to take care of a sheep, but ultimately he would be taking care of a nation. He was learning what it meant to guard and defend the sheep so that no one would get him, because one day he would guard a nation against the attackers from the outside. While he was watching the sheep, he would take his instrument, his harp, and he would play songs. And many of the psalms that we now have in the Bible were written, inspired, generated, created when David was taking care of his sheep. So he was out there on his own, but he was developing a heart for God. Hours by himself taking care of the sheep, but he spent time worshiping God. He was being formed and shaped in an obscure place that where no one knew him or knew his name or even thought that he would ever do something. Listen, there are some of you right now that you're living in the shadow of your calling. It doesn't seem like what you're doing is very significant, but there's something extremely significant happening in your heart right now. God is shaping you, forming you, preparing you, humbling you, giving you all the tools that you need because you have a purpose, a mission, a call that God has upon your life, but you need to be in a shaping form. You know that there's a sense that God is moving in your life, but you can't explain it. So one day, out of the blue, they bring him in. David doesn't know what's going on, and he sees the prophet Samuel, and Samuel approaches him and says, "You're the one." He takes out a flask of oil, and he pours it over David's head. Notice what it says. In verse 12, it says, "Then the Lord said, 'Arise and anoint him. This is the one.' So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Then Samuel went to Ramah." You see, anointing is a sign of authority. When they were calling someone to be king, they would put oil on their head, and the oil on their head symbolized that they had a authority, a calling to accomplish something in their life. Anytime you see the word anointing in Scripture, understand that it's symbolic of having power or authority to accomplish something. In James, it says, when someone is sick among you, take oil and anoint their head with oil. And we do that here at this church. we anoint someone with oil. We'll put oil on their forehead and we'll pray over them because the oil symbolizes that the spirit of the resurrected Jesus has power over sickness and disease and even death. The Lord has power. When Jesus started his ministry, it says in Luke, Jesus said, the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Why? He had anointed him means that God had given him authority and power to do something. So if you're taking notes, write it down. First of all, the first phase is the calling phase. And you may have a sense of calling, but yet not be released into your call because God is preparing you. Secondly, it's the formation phase. You have a sense of calling, but you need to be shaped by God for that calling. So as soon as David was anointed in front of all of his brothers, he was said, "You're going to be king." David got up, dripping with oil, knowing that he was going to be king. You know what David did? He went right back to taking care of sheep. Just because you have a call and anointing doesn't mean that you're ready for your call or the anointing that's upon your life. How many of you know that you could have a call but not yet be ready for that call? Just because you have a driver's permit doesn't mean that you're ready to get on the expressway. At least not with me in the car. I've helped my three kids get their license. My wife said, "That's your job, not mine. Walk in faith." And just because my kids had a permit at 15 because they went to a class that says now you can drive with your parent didn't mean they were ready to get to drive. Oh no, they weren't ready, some of them. Believe me, it was scary. My faith has increased incredibly by taking my kids out onto the street. My prayer life went exponentially higher as I prayed, "Lord Jesus, I need a couple extra angels to watch over me." When Grant was driving, he would drive all the way to this side of the street. And I kept saying, "Son, you're going to hit a mailbox. You're going to sideswipe a car. Why are you driving over here?" And I said, and then he told me, I said, "Well, you got to be in the center of the road." And he thought that he himself, not the car, had to be in the center. So he said, "Dad, I am in the center." "No, you're not, son. We're about to hit mailboxes here." So listen, just because one day it's your call to get married and be a godly husband and love a woman and raise children and raise them right, it doesn't mean that tomorrow you need to get engaged, because some of you need to grow up before you get married. Some of you need to get the skills before you have a dating relationship, because you can't drag people into your chaos. Yeah, maybe it's part of your call, but you got to get ready for your call. David was anointed as king, but yet he wasn't ready to be king. He had to go back to shepherding sheep because there was character that had to be formed in his heart. Listen, let me deviate a little bit here because this is really important. The gifts that God has given you and I, and all of you, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have gifts, spiritual gifts. They're like talents, but given to you by God through his Holy Spirit to minister. Those gifts in the Greek are called graces. A grace is a gift that you don't earn or deserve. It's just given to you because God chooses to give it to you. Not because you're better or worse than anybody else. It is God who chooses to give us our gifts. You don't get a gift because you're good, and you don't lose a gift because you're bad. Regardless of how you live, you have a gift if you're a believer. And that's a dangerous thing, because here's how it works. The Bible says the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. So you may have a great gift and God may use you in that gift, and people may think that you're spiritual because you have a great gift, but you could fall into carnality and go in the flesh and your gift is not taken away from you because your gift wasn't given to you because you were better, and it's not taken away from you because you're bad. Are you tracking with me?
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Fighting for Your Destiny. And tonight was the first half of his message called Step Into Your Next Phase. Join us again on Monday for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend, and God bless.